السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome back to the realest podcast in the dunya. I hope you guys can hear me right now. Before we start with today's stream, another quick announcement. You guys are down there, I'm up here. Yes, why? Because my camera's not working. Thank you for asking. Regardless, today's the last day. The last day of what? The last day for the drop, for the collection drop. If you want to get this fine, nice sweater and the oversized tee that goes on top of it that I didn't wear today because I wanted to show the sweater by itself, alhamdulillah, then hit the link in the description, Seventh Earth Studios, and get yours today. Now, let me bring up a friend of mine to tell you the same thing. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, bro. I like the dominant positioning.
Barakallahu feekum. I was thinking of you when I set up this camera position.
Nice, nice.
I'm like, I need a level up on him. He has a voice, he has a beard. I need the height.
But it's all good because we both got the hoodie.
Exactly, hey. Exactly.
Hey man. Hey man. That's clean.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, Bismillah. So, you guys are late. Yeah, I know I'm late. I know, like I mentioned, my camera is giving me some difficulties, okay? You can always watch it back later if you want to. It's okay, inshallah. But yeah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, should we just throw up the video and start talking?
Just throw it up, bro.
All right, Bismillah, let me grab it.
See this as a threat in Islam.
I chose a longer video, so it's about 10 minutes. So
That's cool with me, bro, it's cool with me.
All right, Bismillah.
Bismillah.
I see this as a threat in Islam, in the more fundamentalist forms of Islam. It's like, well, you should submit to Allah. It's like, hey, fair enough. Allah as interpreted by who? Oh, totalitarian misogynistic mullahs. How about no? I don't buy your Allah. And well, I don't see who made you the good.
I can't remember who said this, but someone said that the poor believe religion is true. The middle class believes it's false and the rich believe it's useful, or the powerful believe it's useful. I'm not powerful or rich, but I certainly consider it useful, and I can see that the lack of it has its negative impact as well. I just don't wish to submit myself to a rigid ideology of that kind, combined with the fact I don't believe in the bigger the guy in the sky, right?
Okay, so let's not make it... Okay, so let's agree that you shouldn't subordinate yourself arbitrarily to a rigid structure. Now, you might want to do that sporadically to discipline yourself, right? But the object shouldn't be submission. Now, what's weird in the biblical narrative, you know, is that the goal is not submission. It's so weird. It's covenantal relationship. And covenantal relationship is actually relationship. So one of the things you see with Moses, for example, and you also see this with Abraham, is that they're constantly negotiating with God. That's why the name of my next book, by the way, is We Who Wrestle with God. It's a negotiation. It's not a submission. And so God is always threatening to wipe out the Israelites in the desert. He's just sick and tired of their idol worship and their whiny resentment and their bitterness and their worship of the past tyranny. And he's constantly threatening just to wipe them out and start again.
Okay. He has said so much already. Just from that 1 minute, he has said, and the host as well, said so much. And I want to try and kind of unpack it, because sometimes when he speaks, it's hard to understand what he's saying. So I'm going to try my best to unpack it. Bismillah. So aside from the clip in the beginning, because it's going to come back, they just did like a little coming up. The guy started by saying the poor believe in God, insinuating they have nothing else to do. The middle class, they don't, because they, for some reason, think they're too good. They have what they need, or they're too focused on the world, maybe. And the upper class think it's useful, so they could take advantage of those below them, you know, the elites. They use religion to keep people oppressed. Now, this is a stupid, silly narrative. It's a liberal, not liberal versus conservative, but like libertarian liberal narrative that's been created since the Renaissance, and you know, since Europe was enlightened and they came out of the Dark Ages, mainly because of Islam again, by the way. And they had this belief that, listen, the church kept us under for so long, we want to be free. So they made liberalism to make people as free as possible. And that is when they created this narrative that religion is just invented to keep people under. their oppression built up for so long into this energy that just exploded into, I want to be free and all religion sucks. And the energy is being transferred down generation to generation. And that's why we have this narrative around today. Ask yourself, why does this narrative exist? You don't know. It just does. I just told you why. So they're going based off this narrative. And then the host himself, big man in the sky with a beard, clearly talking about Christianity. I don't, again, and by the way, with no disrespect to Christianity, they kind of ruin things for a lot of the other major religions, because a lot of Christianity is one of the biggest religions. So when they mess up, people just lump all religions in under their banner and say, well, look, Christianity believes in this and that. How does God love everyone, even people who do insanely horrible things? We don't have that stuff in Islam. But Anho, how are you feeling about the video so far, man?
I'm just trying to understand, like, where he's coming from. Like, what happened mentally with him that he had this, like, just switch up? You know, because, like, we saw him in the videos that he was making with Muhammad Hijab.
Yeah.
And it seemed as though he was actually listening. He was sincere. He was making some kind of progress.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is that he's saying that, like, you have the prophets like Moses and Isa, alayhi salam, and he's saying that they were wrestling with God, but they weren't submitting. It's like, bro, they definitely were submitting to God. They definitely were submitting to God. Like, every single prophet has submitted to God. Every single person in this world submits to God. And if you're not submitting to God, then you're going to submit to something else. So what is that other thing that you're submitting to? Is it money? Is it the government? Like, what is it? You know, that's the real question. So I'm just kind of confused that he's saying they did not submit. Like, where is he getting this understanding from?
Yeah, yeah. So he's going based off the Bible. And the Bible, it does have this narrative. You know, we've read some verses that even talk about some of the prophets of God, you know, alayhim salam, and what it says that they did. So it wouldn't be surprising. I think for him specifically, I think it's never a black and white thing, right? It's always complex. Yeah. Many different colors that go into this kind of thing. So I think there are personal reasons. There are, you know, reasons around his upbringing. I think there are maybe even financial reasons. I know he's employed by a very specific organization who I will not name, that's backed by a very specific group who I also will not name. But if you guys want to do the research, just type into Google. You'll figure it out, inshallah. And, yeah, you know, accepting Islam or something would hinder
ruin
him
that.
From.
Hey, you know, ruin that. From
that. Yeah, so many reasons. But yeah, what were you going to say?
Bro, I mean, he says in the beginning too, like, oh, you have to submit to Allah. And he's like, okay, fair enough. But then he said, but whose interpretation of Allah are we talking about? Like, bro, are you serious? Like, Allah, the creator, the one who created everything and everyone. Like, how is that so complicated? Why are you complicating things?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I think when it's weird, because this is something that was pointed out in a discussion he had with Muhammad Hijab, where as soon as he was asked about a religious endeavor, he overcomplicated the whole thing. He literally asked, like, Muhammad Hijab asked, do you believe in God or something like that? And Jordan Peterson responded by saying, what do you mean by do? What do you mean by you? What do you mean by believe? And what do you mean by God? Excuse me? What do I mean by do?
I remember this, yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. It's okay, maybe we have to define God. No problem. We'll define God. It's not an issue because people understand God to be different things. Okay, we'll define God. Believe, okay, maybe we can define believe. Because iman in Islam, right, like faith, is not just a blind faith. It's something based on evidence. So you can go based on that as well. You know, you have evidence to a reasonable degree to establish a belief that you have in something or someone, pardon me. Okay, no problem. But do and you? Come on, man. That's way too far. But I also do want to unpack the whole thing he was talking about with, you know, he doesn't want to submit to a kind of, he says this later, a totalitarian regime or a rigid system. Why not? Let's say you had the perfect system in life. You knew exactly how to live life, the best way to live life, not just for you, but for all of society. That system will be rigid because it will be specific. Because to live life in the best way, you have to be specific. And I know you know this because you talk about doing your bed and cleaning your room when you wake up in the morning. That's rigid. And that's why he gives room. You need to be rigid some places. You need to be rigid sometimes. Okay. But if you knew the perfect way to live, you would be rigid in all of it. And that is exactly what religion is, pardon me. That's exactly what Islam is. You are rigid in where you need to be rigid. You are rigid in the best way of life. Now, God has given us, you know, leeway. You don't have to drink orange juice over milk because one is a little bit better than the other. Maybe you need calcium over vitamin C or whatever. Like, you know, that there is that room for interpretation, that room for necessity, that room for improvement, that room for leeway, right? But his issue is he doesn't understand Islam. He doesn't understand God. And that's something I'm going to dig into a little bit later, inshallah. I'll save it. But his main issue, the whole wrestling with God, why do you want to wrestle with God? And inshallah, I'm going to talk about that later on. But I'll let you, inshallah, jump in before we continue.
No, I think we should definitely jump in because this is reminding me so much of like different surahs, or not different surahs, but different ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. And I want to bring them up, but I also want to continue. So let's continue, inshallah. And before we continue, just a question to the viewers right now. Like, what are y'all's thoughts? What do y'all think about what's going on so far? What do you think happened with Jordan Peterson with this switch up as of recently? Do you think it's what Rami is? Do you think it is what Rami is mentioning, or do you think it's something different? Do you think that he was like this from the rip?
It's a good question, and let's leave insults out of it. No, like, oh, he's crazy or anything like that.
Yeah.
Only legit answers, inshallah. All right, let's get back to the video.
And that's the apocalypse, I suppose. And Moses is constantly interceding on their behalf and telling God he shouldn't break his word. And the odd thing in the story is that God actually listens, which is rather preposterous. But the reason that's happening is to mitigate against exactly the problem that you described, which is to have the relationship with the transcendent degenerate into nothing but a blind obedience. And then the danger of that is, well, a blind obedience to who? And I see this as a threat in Islam, in the more fundamentalist forms of Islam. It's like, well, you should submit to Allah. It's like, hey, fair enough. Allah as interpreted by who? Oh, totalitarian misogynistic mullahs. How about no? I don't buy your Allah. And
Okay. I know I'm pausing it again fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. But he's just throwing like freaking haymaker after haymaker, and you need to respond or else you're going to get hit bad. So I have a question for Jordan Peterson. He said he doesn't want to submit totally to something. Okay. Why do you submit fully to the Bible being the historical authority? Why do you believe the Bible is a historical authority? And with the children of Israel, why do you believe that's actually how it went down? Why are you even reading the Bible? Why don't you believe it's a piece of fiction as opposed to a historical authority? Why?
That's facts. Yeah.
It shows his inclination towards Christianity to begin with. So there's a presupposition. I already believe the Bible is correct. I already see myself like the child of Israel, the children of Israel, who's wrestling with God. Why? Why do you come to that conclusion when there has been intellectual discourse had with you?
Yeah. Makes sense, man. It really does make sense. And I hate to say this, but it's kind of sad to see such an intellectual individual come down to this point where he's speaking in a way where it's almost like he's trying to run in circles. You know, he's trying to confuse the person who's listening. Or maybe he's trying to confuse himself, bro. Allah knows best.
Allahu alam. But you know,
well, I have, yeah. Before you continue, I have an ayah, bro. That it just hit me perfectly. Okay. I took a picture of it because I wanted to recall it 100%. But it's in Surah Al-Baqarah, so the second chapter in the Quran, and the 28th verse. Allah says, "How can you deny Allah? You were lifeless, and He gave you life, and He will cause you to die and again bring you to life, and then to Him you all will be returned." And it's like, bro, I just want to bring this question up. Jordan Peterson, at one point, he was talking about that he had this crippling autoimmune disorder, and that he had to, like, he had so much depression and his energy was zapped and he just felt terrible. And the moment he started eating carnivore, right, that these things started going away and he started actually feeling good again. This depression that he had, this anxiety, all this stuff that just started going away and he started feeling good again. It's like, do you not realize that was a blessing? That was a gift. You know, like Allah can easily take this away from you. So why would you say that you're not going to submit? Submit to the one who has given you this gift. Submit to the one who's given you this eyesight, this ability to hear, this ability to have this logic and intellect that you so have. So say, how can you not submit to the one who created you in this regard?
That's a very beautiful point, bro. Barakallahu fikum. That's a very beautiful point. A man like him, especially nowadays, you know, he's very blessed in a lot of ways. I'm sure he has his tests and tribulations, 100%. He's also been very blessed in a lot of ways. There's a video where he was talking about how much money he makes. Obviously, money's not everything, but there are people who are, you know, on the brink of death because they don't have money. So, or they live a very long, difficult life because they don't have money. You know, it's something that God has blessed him with, given him. So, you bring up a very, very good point. You know, why are we not taking these things into consideration? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Duha that right at the end, he says, and proclaim the blessings of your Lord, or ask for the blessings of your Lord, proclaim them. You know, he's sitting here, I want to wrestle with God. Excuse me? You don't even control your own heart beating and you want to wrestle with God. Come on, man. Yeah. Now, he's going to say that we're strawmanning his points and all that stuff. Someone made an interesting point. He doesn't actually believe that about the Bible. Why is he speaking about it in that way then? Now he's going to say, I'm just making a general point, whether it's true or not. That's the story that's given there. And okay, no problem. I want to discuss this.
He's trying to run around the circle.
Yeah, let him run around. I mean, we're all going to run around till we die. It's a matter of who's on the truth at the end. And that's why we want to have this discussion, inshallah. And we do it because we genuinely care about people. You know, we're not trying to make a hit piece against Jordan Peterson. The only thing I want from him is to accept the truth. I would love for him to accept the truth. That's it. And just like Muhammad Hijab invited him to Islam, we invite him to Islam. The whole Muslim Ummah invites you to Islam. We want you as our brother. But first, you have to put your ego down. And you have to really ask God to guide you, and you have to reflect on it, inshallah. Now, there's a point I want to make. And that point is, and I think this is something that I have to be firm on, because I only see two options. When you are talking about wrestling with God and describing the way the children of Israel did in the Bible, correcting God or telling God to hold his word, which who the heck do they think they are to say that, by the way, unless they don't understand who God is? Especially as the Jews, they're very strict with their understanding of God, you know, not associating partners and all that stuff. So it's very surprising that, you know, there is this narrative in the Bible, apparently. But when you talk about wrestling with God, you are either trying to make yourself into a God or a God-like figure so you can wrestle up there with him, or you're trying to humanize God. And I think you're doing a little bit of both to make it more even. I think you're giving yourself way too much credit. You don't know as much as you think you do. I know you're older and you have a lot of wisdom. You know psychology. You don't know as much as you think you do. You know, there are a lot of things that, for example, I know cookies exist, right? I know there's a recipe for cookies. I know I don't know that recipe. So I know that I don't know it. Imagine I didn't know cookies existed. Imagine all the foods I don't know exist and I don't know the recipe. Imagine all the things you don't even know that you don't know. You're just completely unaware of their existence. So you don't know anything about them or their surrounding facts or anything. I know it's a big concept there. So forgive me for going so deep. But I know Jordan Peterson will understand that, inshallah. And I hope that I didn't make it too complicated. So there's all this stuff you don't even know. And you're putting yourself up here. I want to wrestle with God. I don't want to have a rigid structure. Who are you? I'm sorry. In a light of an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing creator, who are you? And one more thing. Sorry, I know I'm going on a lot. Forgive me for it. But if I were to go to Dr. Jordan Peterson, And I would ask, am I your equal in the field of psychology? Of course, he would say no. I would hope that he says no. If he doesn't, then I think, you know, that's a little disrespectful to himself in his own field. So he would probably say no. I'm not your equal. I'm higher than you. And if I ask why, it's because his experience, his knowledge, his wisdom, his degree, all these things, his qualifiers. He has things that qualify him that I don't have. Okay, in light of God, all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, all-capable, created everything, including you. Who are you compared to God? Are you his equal? No, not even close. So why are you talking about having a rigid structure, not having a rigid structure? What's up?
No, the wrestling as well. How can you wrestle with something like this?
Exactly. You know, the last time, and by the way, it's so funny, he talked about how God threatened to destroy the children of Israel. And by the way, in the Quran, he mentions how he did. And then he brought them back, and he did, and he brought them back. He turned some of them to apes. He did, you know, as punishments for them. God literally split open a sea for them. Split open the sea, and they walked through it. And then God used that same sea to destroy their enemies, and they still disobeyed him. Of course God is going to threaten to destroy them. Of course God is going to destroy them. You're talking about, you're praising it. Yeah. I don't think being destroyed by God is a good thing, or being threatened by to be destroyed by God is a good thing. I would rather be praised by God for being a good servant. I don't know about you, but yeah. No, this is the necessary relationship between the necessary existence and everything that he created. There's no other existence that, a relationship that could exist.
The prophets, again, they did not wrestle with God. I think he needs to check his sources, because it's more so they were asking God. They were begging God. They were making dua. They were praying and begging God, oh, like, don't destroy our people. No, don't punish us. They were asking for forgiveness. They were repenting. So it's like, again, he needs to check his sources, bro. I really just want to understand, where is he coming from? Where is he right now?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And it's a shame. I feel like there are so many ayats in the Quran that I could quote that are just not coming to my head. I think one is along the lines of, you know, who could stop Allah from destroying all of humanity and replacing them with another creation? Who could stop Allah? Who could stop Allah from destroying him and you know, replacing him with somebody else who would accept Islam? Who's going to protect you on the day of judgment? You know, who's going to intercede for you?
Now that I think about it, there's only one individual that actually tried to wrestle with Allah, and that didn't end up very well for him, did it?
Talking about Iblis?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what happened with Iblis?
Well, first, he didn't want to submit. Look at that. Subhanallah. He's saying that, oh no, it's not about submission. It's not about submission. Clearly, it's about submission. Yes, the relationship aspect is very important, but that comes from the submission aspect as well. You know, and Iblis, when he was ordered to prostrate to Adam, the creation that he just made, he didn't do it. Right? He rejected that. He did not submit. And what happened when he did not submit? Please, by all means.
Allah said he is disgraced and he was an outcast. So he outcasted him from heaven.
Bro. Destined for the hellfire. Now, understanding this, would you take this logic? Would you still run with this logic and say, no, it's actually wrestling with Allah, not having a relationship? Or not submitting, my bad. Let me correct myself. Not submitting. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I wouldn't run with that logic.
100%. 100%. And he could probably take that same narrative with the Lucifer in the Bible or whatever, you know, the fallen angel. We don't believe Satan was a fallen angel. But, you know, he could probably take that same narrative. You know, what made him an outcast?
Yeah.
So I think it's very, very, very clear now that the only relationship that you can have with your creator is a subservient one. There is no other kind of relationship you can have unless he, and exalted is Allah, decides that you'll have some other kind of relationship. But on the basis, on a basic level, there's no other relationship you can really have except one of subservience, that you submit to him fully because of who he is. You know, we have this topic in Islam of why God is worthy of worship. That's actually an important thing to discuss. Why is God worthy of our worship, which is us, you know, exalting, singing his praise, and obeying him as well, you know, praying to him and all that stuff, and doing acts of worship for him and obeying him as well. Why? It's because of who God is. You know, why do people, you know, praise famous athletes or whatever? It's because of who they are, what they can do, what they're capable of, and all that stuff. You know, Michael Jordan is not just the best because he is. You know, it's because of very specific traits that he has that makes him the best. He outperformed everyone. God outperforms everything because he created everything, and he's better than everything and everyone in existence. It's not a hard concept to understand. Therefore, you can only fully submit to him. And if you don't submit to him, you'll submit to something else. It's very clear, Jordan Peterson, that you are a man who is currently submitting to his own desires and his own whims. And I think that's a very sad state to be in for a man, especially someone who a lot of young men look up to.
Yeah, I actually don't think he's submitting to himself.
Yeah?
I mean, Allah knows best, but I think he's submitting to like an organization or... I don't know. I'm not gonna say it. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the viewers, if you don't know, I think you do.
Yeah, yeah. It's very possible. Allahu alam. And yeah, it could be multiple things as well.
Yeah. Allah knows best.
Yeah. Allah. I don't see who made you the right precise.
And even if I believed in the bearded guy in the sky, I'm not sure I need a middleman to talk to him. Right?
Well, that makes you a good Protestant.
Well, maybe that's
but look, we could also go down that rabbit hole a little bit, you know, and it's worth it because I also think this is how we ended up in this postmodern excess liberal conundrum. So Jung talked about Catholicism, as we mentioned, and he talked about the utility of the and mercy of the confessional and that possibility of atonement. But he also laid out, you know, the dangers of that. The dangers of the Catholic structure is, what would you say, a tilt towards authoritarian rigidity, which is what the Protestants rebelled against. But then the question is, well, what's the danger of the Protestant revolution? And the danger is that everybody becomes his own church. And then here's the problem. You tell me what you think about this. Here's the logical conclusion of that. You're your own church. You're your own God. Now you can say what God said to Moses out of the depths of the burning bush. You can say, I am what I am. And I would say that's what the identity politics types do. They say, look, I am so superordinate in my own self-defining identity that no matter what identity claim I put forward, it is incumbent upon you to accept it as if it comes from an omniscient source. And I think, as far as I can tell, Constantine, that's where we are, right? Increasingly by force of law. If you make an identity claim, no matter how preposterous, which implies that there's some limit to identity claims, by the way, like I have to accept, well, there's one example in Ontario right now that's become famous for its surreality. So there's a female teacher in a suburb in Toronto who has decided at the ripe old age of something approximating 50 that he's actually a woman, but he's not just a woman, man. He's the earth goddess herself, and he wears these like 144 quadruple D prosthetic breasts. I don't know if you've seen pictures of this character.
I have seen that. I'm sure that's exactly what she is. Yeah.
Okay. Now he's talking about the issues with being too liberal. So what I see here is a confused human being, and I don't blame him. Every human being is lost, right? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Indeed, mankind is in loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا, except those who believe, وَآمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and those who do good deeds, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and those who exalt each other towards patience, and those who exalt each other towards truth, and those who exalt each other towards patience. So I see a lost individual who, you know, he's struggling between having a religious, rigid way of life where he, you know, lives according to what God wants, and not being undermined by a totalitarian regime and all this stuff. And I want to make it very simple. You should never, and actually I think Islam is the exact solution for what he is fighting against with this one hadith, right? So obviously we should submit to Allah. We've established that. Now he's worried about, you know, totalitarian misogynistic mullahs or whatever, which by the way shows his understanding of our imams in Islam. It shows his understanding of our shaykh and those who we take the, you know, knowledge of the Quran and the deen from. They're all what? Totalitarian misogynistic mullahs? Excuse me? You're going to praise these people who wrestle with God and you're going to completely undermine 1400 years of scholarship to these, you know, these two degenerate terms? Come on. And I'm going to talk more about that inshallah in a bit. But I want to be careful about how I say it. Let me just say the hadith of the Prophet. He said, there is no obedience to people with disobedience to Allah. So if anyone were to say something that goes against Islam, you don't obey that person. And there have been instances in Islamic history where the person was completely so far off, and the Muslims rebelled against that person. The Muslims rebelled against that person. He did so much, you know, bad that it basically took him out of the fold of Islam, and they rebelled against that person. This is early Islamic history, by the way. So, you know, we don't have that totalitarian, authoritarian, rigid structure. You obey a human being, khalas, that's it. There have been bad leaders, yes. For every nation, including Muslims, there have been bad leaders. But that doesn't make God any less God. That doesn't make the religion any less true. It just makes the people bad. You could say this about anything. Liberalism, socialism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, anything. Because of the people are people, we have free will. Now, let me talk about one case in which the leader was a little more authoritarian. We call them the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila, this one leader at some point, he got caught up with an argument. It was like a logical, semantical argument. You know, it was, is the Quran the word of God? Yes. Is Jesus the word of God? Yes. Okay. Is Jesus created? Yes. Is the Quran created? I guess it is. That's a semantic point he fell into. And we all know that whoever says the Quran is created, many shuyukh, they say that person actually falls out of the fold of Islam. Because they have lied against Allah in the Quran. So he fell into this. And this leader, he is going to everyone. He put himself over everyone. He's like, everyone needs to say the Quran is created. And the shaykh who, gave in. There are some shaykh who tried to get around from it. You know, they would say the Quran, the Bible, the Torah. They would wiggle their fingers and say these three were made by Allah. So when they say these three, they're talking about their fingers, right? They tried to get out of it. But there was one Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. He fought against it and he was beaten for it. These are our imams. These are honorable men, better than you and me. They fought for the truth. They fought for the truth of Islam against these totalitarian regimes or whatever you want to call them. That's what Islam is. And that is the religion that we are supposed to follow. But you want to boil our imams down, our pious and righteous imams down to totalitarian, misogynistic mullahs. Excuse me? And by the way, there's etiquettes. There are etiquettes in Islam. All you have to do is ask for their evidence. If they cannot provide evidence, I guess I was talking too much for Anhel, he dipped. If they cannot provide evidence for what they're saying from the Quran and the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, then you don't take it from them. It's very simple. So to bring it all full circle, Dr. Jordan Peterson, the main problem you have is the problem with that everyone struggles from. Every single person has this issue. They cannot balance submission to God with this liberal lifestyle that they feel they need to live. And the problem in the middle is, who do you take the religion from? The problem in the middle is, who do you take the religion from? And Islam solves this issue, like I mentioned, to bring it full circle. There is no obedience to people with disobedience to God. Meaning, if somebody who is supposed to be an authority over you tells you something that goes against what God wants or describes as a good way of living, you do not listen to them. Islamically, yes, in Islam, including an imam, including a scholar, including a ruler, including, whoever it is, your boss, your employer, your parents, your husband, whatever, you don't have to listen to them. And that's the beauty of Islam. That is the beauty of Islam. And I know you would be much, much, much happier of a man if you were to accept Islam, like many, many people have very recently. I know I went on for a while. I'm sorry, but I'm done.
Okay. Is there more to the video, or is it?
There's more, but I think he shifts away from Islam and religion and goes more to like liberalism and all that stuff. So we can watch if the people want, but I don't think it's necessary. I think we should stick to this.
Yeah, let's just stick to this, bro.
All right. So let's bring the comments up, inshallah. I think this is a very important comment that needs to be addressed. Rami doesn't know how to bake cookies. I'm going to be honest. I have baked cookies before, actually. And I followed a recipe, so I don't have it memorized, but they were really good cookies.
Why do you need to know how to bake cookies when you know how to make s'mores?
That is a good question. Which, by the way, s'mores, thank you, Anhil, because he taught me how to make s'mores, are so much better than cookies, in my opinion. They were beautiful. We were combining different chocolates and all this. Oh, my God, man. Uh-huh. It was amazing. Second question, where is Fayyad? He is chilling right now. May Allah bless him. Everyone make dua for him. That Allah blesses him and increases him. Inshallah, he will be back for the next stream. He just couldn't make it today.
Inshallah.
What do you think of this? He knows the truth, but his ego and pride stop him from accepting the truth.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's both this and the fact that he's being this, like, some I don't know, some group of people or someone else that's like controlling him from behind the scenes. You know, like he did mention that he's making a lot of money with all these different things that he's doing. So who's to say that the sources where he's making these money, like the way that he's getting the money for these different things is not connected to these things. And whereas if he were to say something, or if he were to, let's say, start believing in Islam or something like this, where he essentially starts cutting off all these sources of income.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And my camera, alhamdulillah, turned back on. God has blessed me again with good quality. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
But you're absolutely right. You know, that's that, whether people like to admit it or not, on a fundamental level, and as a psychologist, he should know this, that will always impact a person because they make their decision emotionally before they logically think about it. And it's only natural. And it's, you know, even for people like him.
Yeah. And if you play it back, you will actually see that he was very emotionally charged in his responses.
Yeah.
And granted, I mean, if you play back this stream, you will see that we were actually very emotionally charged as well in our responses. But it's because it's, I feel like it's something so simple that he's just complicating so much and trying, like I said, he's trying to run around in circles. He's trying to run away from the point. He's trying to beat around the bush.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I think this has been a long time coming. I think this goes back to the discussions he's had with Muhammad Hijab. I think maybe he didn't expect Islam to be as truthful as it was, as clear as it was, as evidential as it was. I think he did assume it's just like any other religion, and because of that, he's like, I can kind of wiggle away from it. I can get away from it. I think he's struggling with that. So he asked, or maybe he just genuinely misunderstands. I think the fact and the biggest problem is the fact that he still thinks or believes that Islam is just this complete totalitarian, like, you know, North Korea type, you know, authoritarian regime, and that our, you know, imams or mullahs or whatever are misogynistic and totalitarian, which is very sad because as an individual, he's been called misogynistic many, many times before. So it's so sad to see him erect this straw man and throw this label onto what every single sheikh and imam in Islamic history. I think it's very, very sad. But inshallah, you know, I hope that inshallah he'll come around, and maybe we should make some dua. What do you think?
Yeah, we should. But before we make the dua, why don't you replay the very beginning part of the video so that way the viewers can see that he was emotionally charged in his response. And when someone's emotionally charged like this, it lets you know there's definitely some kind of bias. He's leaning towards one direction, or there's just something else going on here. Like, it's not coming from a grounded place. If he were to have said all this in a grounded place, I think we would be viewing this slightly different. Now, would we be refuting it? Of course we would be refuting it, because, I mean, it still doesn't make sense, logically speaking. And any true believer, any mu'mineen, anyone in the right state of mind will say the same thing. But it's just the fact that he was emotionally charged, it lets us know that, again, something's happening. Like, where is he? What's going on? Because it's something clearly doesn't make sense here.
Absolutely, 100%. So let me play it, and then inshallah, everyone can see what Anil's referring to here.
I see this as a threat in Islam, in the more fundamentalist forms of Islam. It's like, well, you should submit to Allah. It's like, hey, fair enough. Allah as interpreted by who? Oh, totalitarian, misogynistic mullahs. How about no? I don't buy your Allah.
Keep it going. Well, the guy starts saying, you know, the things about the men in the sky or something like this, and then he's like, he starts to get like hyped up. He starts to get like really into it, and like starts to get out of his chair and everything.
Don't see who made you the good.
Right, I'm fond of, I can't remember who said this, but someone said that the poor believe religion is true, the middle class believes it's false, and the rich believe it's useful, or the powerful believe it's useful. I'm not powerful or rich, but I certainly consider it useful, and I can see that the lack of it has its negative impact as well. I just don't wish to submit myself to a rigid ideology of that kind, combined with the fact I don't believe in the bigger guy in the sky, right?
Okay, so let's not make it. Okay, so let's agree that you shouldn't subordinate yourself arbitrarily to a rigid structure.
You can cut it. But you see what I'm saying? You see, like, there was definitely a response there, a reaction, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It definitely triggered something within him. But playing it back actually made me think of a point. And I think it was a really important point, but I don't remember what it was now. Oh, yeah. Allah as interpreted by who? I think I spoke about this before, but I don't feel like I made the point clear enough. Allah interpreted by who? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes himself in the Quran. And there's only so many ways to interpret, you know, a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the all-knowing, the all-wise. How are you going to debate with me on what all-knowing is or what all-wise is? Even if we were to debate on the basics of what it means to know everything, how much knowledge there is it infinite, is it like all these silly things. At the end of the day, God knows more than anything or anyone else that exists. Everything that there is to know, God knows it. And we are not like that. Okay, moving on. All wise. What is wisdom? Wisdom is putting things in the rightful place at the right time. That's what wisdom is. Okay, God can do that 100% of the time. We can't. All powerful. Okay, same thing. So you see, we're going down this track. Allah, as interpreted by who? It's very clear. And in the Prophet ﷺ, he describes him in the hadith. And it's very beautiful. You know, it says, Allah is as his servant sees him. So if you see him as merciful and forgiving, he will be merciful and forgiving. And if you just expect God to punish you, okay, then God is going to, you know, punish you because that's what you expect from him. There are many, many, many hadith in the Sunnah of the Prophet. And I would love for Jordan Peterson to explore this side of Islam because we actually have such a beautiful relationship with Allah. What does Allah say in the Quran? He says, الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَلَى بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. He says, those who believe and whose hearts are content with the remembrance of Allah, indeed with the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find contentment. And this is something that Muslims who believe in Allah, you know, they will all respond to. This is something that they will all admit to. Because when you have a relationship with your Creator, you're put in a place in life where you're almost spiritually enlightened. Not in a way where you know everything, but in a way where you are connected with God. We have a very beautiful relationship with Allah. You know, imagine, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أُنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. He says, tell my servants who have harmed themselves by committing sins, don't despair in the mercy of Allah. Indeed, God forgives all sins, and it is Him who is the most forgiving, most merciful. You want to wrestle with God? God wants to forgive you. God wants to... If you walk one step, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it'll take what is the hadith, 100 or 1,000? If you walk towards Allah, Allah will run you. If you go to Allah a handspan, He'll come to you in an arm span. This is your Lord. This is the one who created you. Habibi, this is the one who created you. And you want to wrestle with Him. SubhanAllah.
Yeah. And let me just correct it, because you said that Allah is how the servant sees Him. But listen, if you see Allah as someone that you can wrestle with, that's not what Allah is. It's not what Allah is going to be, you know?
Yeah. 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 That's where interpretation comes in. You know, that's where you need the mullahs or the imams to specify, because you don't just take one thing out of context and run with the narrative. You need all the evidence in the Quran. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Jazakallah khair. I think that's a good example to kind of exaggerate the point of why we need those of knowledge. And Allah says in the Quran, you know, when you don't know, ask those who know. Ask those of knowledge. Ask the ulama. Ask the scholars. And just like in something in psychology, when we don't know, we go to people like Dr. Jordan Peterson, who do know in that field.
Yeah, exactly. You always go to the person that knows better. If you go into the gym, you don't know how to work out, you go to someone who knows better, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's the trainer at the gym, whether it's your friend that knows better, but you're going to someone who knows better. Why? Because instead of you wandering around in the dark, you are going to the person who has already leveled up. They're already on level 10. You're on level 1. So now they bring you up to level 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's the story of life, you know. You don't know. You learn. You work to be better. And that's what Islam is. Islam is a deen. I'm sure he's heard this at the very least. It's a full way of life that encompasses everything. So it tells you how to live life and how to live life in the best way. In a way that pleases God as well. So... I mean, it's actually very straightforward. And I would love for Dr. Jordan Peterson to venture off and to actually learn Islam and not just look at it from a historical perspective, and look at, oh, there was this battle and this fight and then this happened, that happened. Look at our religion. Look at our spirituality. Look at what we believe about God. Look at our religion in a more spiritual manner, not just a more, okay, this happened and that happened kind of way. I promise you, if you genuinely look into it, you will fall in love with it.
Yeah, 100%. So again, this is not us bashing the guys. This is us just refuting some points and then inviting him back to Islam, because clearly there's something going on. So let's make dua for him here right now. And then let's open the floor up for the viewers to share their thoughts and all this good stuff, inshallah.
Inshallah. And also in the future, inshallah, we will implement a call-in system. So you guys can actually hop on the stream and call in, inshallah. So with that being said, you're right. Let's make dua, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, accept our fasting and allow us to observe Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree, and accept from us our good deeds on that day and every day before and every day after. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for our slips and our mishaps and our mistakes, because He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a, innahu huwa ghafiru rahim. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins, and it is Him who is the most forgiving, most merciful. Anything that we have said that was incorrect is from ourselves and shaitan. We ask Allah to forgive us. And anything that we have said is good, that is good, is from Allah, and we ask Him to reward us for it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide Dr. Jordan Peterson to Islam, to open up his heart and allow him to see that Islam is the truth, and allow him to submit to Allah with a full submission and a clean heart. Allahumma ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be righteous leaders for the ummah and leaders for the righteous. Allahumma ameen. We ask Allah to accept our Islam from us and grant us the highest levels of Jannah and protect us from the punishment of this life, the punishment of the grave, and the punishment of the hereafter. Allahumma ameen. Our brother makes a very good point. He says, paradise is for the sincere. Intellect alone will not get you in. That's a very good point.
Sparks, man. And you have to, you really have to think, who gave you the intellect? Allah gave you the intellect so that you could use it for a reason. Now, what is that reason for? It's so that you could literally, you can reflect on the blessings of Allah, reflect on the creation of Allah, reflect on Allah Himself. It's not so you can refute Allah. It's not so you can wrestle with Allah. Astaghfirullah, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. And I think it's a good place to end. Maybe we should recite just a little bit of Quran, something that is a good reminder for us before we end the stream. What do you think?
Inshallah. If no one else has anything to say, then by all means.
Okay. Let me see the comments a little bit. Our brother here says, I never could really understand how the Quran is eternal. I'm not saying it is not, but I never understood. When the Quran is eternal, does it not have one of the attributes of God? Can someone explain? So the Quran always existed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always had it, you know, in His knowledge. So what is the Quran? It's a book, and a book does not have to be physical. So that's why you can't say the Quran is created, because, you know, the Quran has aspects of wisdom and so on and so forth. You could say it was only given to mankind at a specific point. Okay, no worries. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always had it. So that's how it was eternal. It doesn't have an attribute of God, because it's not a being, right? It's not a being. It only exists because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, basically.
Yeah, and you gotta think it's a revelation, right? And a revelation has to be revealed. If something has to be revealed, it means it already existed before, and now it's being revealed.
That's a very, very beautiful point. 100%. 100%. AJ Zach says, the problem with people that hate or are confused by religion are the ones that think that Judaism and Christianity are the standard. That's why he's mentioning wrestling with God, like the Old Testament says. Yeah, 100%. And a lot of people, even the host, you know, I feel bad, we haven't discussed him a lot. He seems like he believes in God, but he just doesn't believe in the bearded man in the sky narrative that, you know, kind of is thrown on the Christians, which I don't think Christians believe that either. But, you know, that's kind of the narrative that has been thrown onto them. obviously, you know, they worship Jesus, a'udhu billah, and that's why they talk about this worship, man worship, which we wouldn't really disagree with, to be honest, calling that. We do think it's paganism, worshiping a man, a'udhu billah, and so do the Jews. But I would like for him, inshallah, to also look a little more into Islam and see what we believe. Because he seems like he believes in God, just not a very specific version of it. But he probably believes in someone who's all-powerful, who's all-knowing, you know, a higher power, as they say. And Islam is in no disagreement with that. So I think that he would benefit greatly from Islam as well. Because he says himself, by the way, that he sees that there's benefit in religion. Alhamdulillah. And he says, thank you, Brother Rami. I finally understood the answers. It usually got way too intellectual for me. Haha. No worries. May Allah bless you. I'm glad you asked. Alhamdulillah. Not, just general good practice. It's better to ask an imam or a sheikh, because, you know, we're very limited in our knowledge. So, but that one, alhamdulillah, I did know the answer.
All right, bro. Let's close out.
All right.
Recitation, inshallah.
Inshallah. I just want to make sure I have the translation ready. Give me 1 second. Let me just pull it up in case. One of the things I hate the most is when I mispronounce the word of the Quran or mistranslate it. Surah Az-Zumar, verse 30. Here we go. Okay. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Innaka mayitun wa innahum mayitun. ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون فمن أظلم ممن كذب على الله وكذب بالصدق إذ جاء أليس في جهنم مثوى للكافرين والذي جاء بالصدق وصدق به أولئك هم المتقون الحمد لله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, indeed you will die, and indeed they will die too. Saying to this to the Prophet sallam, that he will die and the non-Muslims, that everyone else will die. But this is something that could be attributed to us as well. You know, we will die and everyone around us will die as well. Then on the day of judgment, we're gonna settle all our disputes. All this talk about, you know, he was wrong here, he was wrong there, and no, I was right, and this religion is right, this religion is wrong. All of it's going to be disputed on the day of judgment. Allah asks a very powerful question. He says, who then does more wrong than those who lie about Allah and reject the truth after it has reached them? And then he asks, is hell not befitting of a home for the disbelievers? And then he says, and the one who has brought the truth and those who embrace it, it is they who are the righteous ones.
Yeah. It's like the subscriber said, man. Intellect alone is not going to save you.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. 100%. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and grant us goodness. With that being said, inshallah, we're going to go ahead and end the stream off. May Allah bless you all for attending. Make sure you share it with those who you think will benefit from it, inshallah, and share it as much as you can with Dr. Jordan Peterson. Inshallah, hopefully it can get his, reach him, inshallah. And with that being said, Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. We'll see you on the next one. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.